Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and we answer the question today, how many Navy veterans does it take to write a book?
More than one.
I kid. Jeffrey Wilson and Brian Andrews are the best-selling team of multiple covert ops and action-adventure thriller series. They are Navy veterans turned best-selling authors, and I mean some extensive backgrounds here. First of all, welcome to the program, guys.
Thanks a lot. Randy, you stole our line, man. We love to tell people that between the two of us, we're one decent writer.
So. Well, listen, I mean, what a background. So Brian is a Navy vet, Park Leadership Fellow, former submarine officer with a psychology degree from Vanderbilt and a master's in business from Cornell. Brian, kind of an egghead, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. They don't just let anybody go underwater in claustrophobic environment by themselves. You know, you have to special qualification.
When's the last
special sort of masochist to go under there?
When's the last time you had an auto dog?
Oh, man. Now you're talking like legit. That's inside baseball right there.
And then Jeff Wilson has worked as this is incredible, an actor, firefighter, paramedic, jet pilot, hot shot jet pilot, diving instructor, as well, he's going to throw this in, a vascular and trauma surgeon. He served in the Navy for 14 years, made multiple deployments as a combat surgeon. Man, I mean, with an East Coast-based SEAL team. Jeff, quite a resume there.
Yeah, my mom says I can't keep a job, so, you know, there's always two points of view, right? Maybe I have attention deficit disorder. I don't know what it is.
Well, first of all, thank you guys for your service and the things that you've been able to accomplish since you transitioned out. Very inspirational, and I'm sure this audience is going to note all of that. Best-selling authors of Dempsey and the upcoming book, The Sandbox. You did the Tier 1 series, Sons of Valor, Shepherds, and I was not familiar with Dempsey, and I've been reading this new Dempsey, and it doesn't seem to me, and Brian, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you don't have to know the other books to get into the current one, right?
Oh, that's so nice to hear, because we try really, really hard to make it so that anybody who picks up a book, it is a series, and this is the seventh book, but we know that, you know, with Discovery, you might not have heard about the series until you might pick up the wrong book. You might say, oh, yeah, I'm starting with Dempsey. We want readers to be able to start with any book and feel like, hey, you know what? Like, I don't have to read every other book in the series to understand what's going on, to care about these characters and get into the story.
Yeah, so it's absolutely. Really absolutely. And Jeff, I don't know if you guys are familiar with David Baldacci.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So we had him on the program a couple of months ago, and I just finished his book. This reminds me, the Dempsey character kind of reminds me of the action that he does in the 620 Man and some of these other books that he has written. But tell people who Dempsey is.
Yeah, so Dempsey, you know, he's the main character of our first series that we wrote together as Andrews and Wilson. So we got a special place in our heart for John Dempsey. But Dempsey, the whole premise of this series is that Dempsey is a Navy SEAL. He's working in the Tier 1, you know, JSOC SEAL team when a tragedy occurs and he loses his entire team, and he's given the opportunity to assume a new identity, bury his former self in Arlington, and join this super secret task force to hunt down the people responsible for the loss of his brothers. And so that's this character. And so what we were able to flesh out in Dempsey's character over a series of books, a long arc of books, is that transition from that black and white world of door-kicking SEAL to the shady gray work of task force and covert operations and spies, and how his journey and his relationship with his teammates and his former family, how that all is affected by that. So he's a really cool character. He's an amalgam of people we've both known and served with over the years. And so we're able to sort of bring a little bit of honor to the folks that we serve with through this character, we hope.
Yeah, you know, that's the part of this that I really love, too. We're talking to a best-selling authors of military fiction, Jeff Wilson and Brian Andrews. And Brian, you know, you read books that people maybe didn't serve, where they've studied history and that kind of thing. But you guys bring this very unique perspective to these characters and to stories. How important is it for you guys to get it right?
You know, I think when you're writing for a very broad audience, getting it right is increasingly important. If you look back over sort of the history of our genre, you know, back when Tom Clancy first wrote Hunt for Red October back in 1984, you know, when that book came out.
Wow, you know, has it been that long?
It's been that long, yeah. Wow. So we're coming up on the 40th anniversary of the book. And, you know, when Tom... you know, he was not a veteran. He never served. He was just a fantastic researcher and a talented author. But, you know, for him to sort of get into the mind of what it was like of these characters, you know, he would spend time talking with veterans or active duty submarine personnel, and he'd try to capture that. I think now what you have with people like us writing and Don Bentley and Josh Hood and other military veterans who are now thriller writers is you have this true authenticity, this been there, done that sort of perspective that you bring to the novels and the characters. And I think it really resonates with the readers.
Yeah.
I want to add to that, Randy, is that, you know, it's not just the weapons. Like Clancy was so good at getting the tech and all the machines right. But what I think that guys like Don and hopefully us and Josh Hood and some, you know, Tony Tate, these other people that are writing that have served, I think we're able to bring that tick on the hound kind of what it's really like. And that's sort of our goal. We want you to feel what these characters feel. And in that way, we get to sort of honor the sacrifice of our brothers and sisters that are still serving and get people to just maybe see it a little bit more clearly, while having hopefully a fun and exciting ride.
Yeah, you guys mentioned Tom Clancy. I also see you're slated to write the next Tom Clancy book in the Jack Ryan series. That's incredible. What an honor that is, huh?
Well, and great timing with Brian being a submariner too, right? Because our book, Act of Defiance, is coming out on the 40th anniversary of the Hunt for the Red October. And so this gives us an opportunity to write a book that can really honor that heritage and sort of return Clancy fans to the origin, right? Like what it's like to be aboard a submarine in 1984 and how that has changed in 2023, 2024. And the Navy has been amazing. They've given us so much access. They've given us so much support to get it right and talk to submariners. And it's just been a crazy ride, but we're really, really excited.
Hey, Brian, talk about that a little bit, the life of a submariner. I mean, to me, I can't imagine anything more horrible. You're aboard a submarine, and I mean that's your world. How do you? Number one, did you choose to do that? And number two, how do you get used to something like that? I know it's a stupid question, but I mean it's fascinating.
Yes, I mean, who would choose to do that, right? We're all kidnapped. They put black bags over our head. You wake up, you're water. You know, and it's like, I'm sorry. There's nowhere for you to go. You can't get out. No, but in all seriousness, what's really fascinating about the community, and I think it might seem a little paradoxical to your listeners, but it is the truth. It's probably one of the most selective communities in the armed forces because, you know, back, you know, the 1940s and 50s when Rickover, Admiral Rickover, had to sell this idea to Congress that, hey, we want to put a nuclear reactor on our submarines so that they can go anywhere. They basically have an unlimited gas tank, you know, to convince Congress that this was a good idea and they weren't going to just have these nuclear bombs underwater blowing up all over the place. He had to sell them on the fact that every submarine officer would be a nuclear engineer. And so what that means for the pipeline is you have to have some very, very smart dudes and women who are going to go through this rigorous academic training, engineering training, in order to qualify as nuclear engineers to safely operate a nuclear reactor in a submarine. So it's highly competitive to get into the program. And you have to be a little masochistic to go through all this training and subject yourself to that just so you can drive around underwater, which, by the way, is one of the coolest things
I'll bet.
Humans can do. It's pretty amazing.
Dive. We're talking to best-selling authors of military fiction, Jeffrey Wilson and Brian Andrews here in the National Defense. And you guys have another book coming out called Sandbox. Tell us about that, Jeff. That world.
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a new adventure for us. You know, we've sort of made our name writing covert operations and military thrillers, special operations force type thrillers. And this one is a little bit different. We do have a main character who has a military pedigree, but this is sort of the first in a series of techno thrillers, sort of maybe a better way to say instead of techno thriller is a grounded science fiction treatment, although the fiction sort of evaporated while we were writing it. But it's focused on artificial intelligence, which is quite the buzz right now.
Right.
So in our book, we have developed a platform for artificial intelligence, and we have a brilliant CID investigator whose first homicide case after leaving the Army and joining the Richmond Police Department is the death of the leading artificial intelligence expert in the world, whose company has developed a sentient AI. And her investigation suggests to her that maybe it was the AI that killed him, which is, of course, impossible because it's a program. It's not a robot. So That's sort of the launching point for the story. We try not to, you know, we've written a thriller, obviously. We're trying not to take a stand on, you know, oh, we love it, oh, we hate it. But we know both sides of the AI debate. You know, there's a lot of good that can come from artificial intelligence, and military is a great example, medicine's another. But there are some risks, too. And so sort of think of Hannibal Lecter. Only Hannibal Lecter is an artificial intelligence.
I mean, you know, they're talking about the artificial intelligence can write books now. They can write scripts, can write movies. And, you know, that's, I guess, that's kind of an ongoing debate. But it's got to be pretty tough to stay ahead of that technology information as you're writing about it, huh?
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously we don't want to be put out of business by you know, in the opening pages of the book, we have this little disclaimer that says, hey, this book was written, edited, and produced entirely by human beings. So, you know,
I love that.
We want people to know that, you know, it matters. And I think, you know, we probably will get to the point where an AI, you know, these large language models, what they're doing, like ChatGPT, is, you know, they have the capacity to read, you know, millions of pages of text a day. And, you know, no human mind has the concentration or we don't operate at a frame rate that these machines do. We could never hope to read and incorporate all this type of information into our minds. But the question is, you know, do you want to read a book about human beings that's written by somebody who's actually had the experience of being a human being, or, you know, sort of this program that's aping what it's like to be sentient and alive? So it is kind of it's something I think that's going to be a debate that we as a species, as a culture, have to wrestle with, which is, you know, do you want to pay for content that's generated by a person, or do you want free content that's generated by a thing?
Yeah, and if you listen to my daughter, who is a literary snob, we've had James Patterson on the show a few times, and she is convinced that he stopped writing his own books about 10 years ago. And so every time I read a James Patterson book, I'll let her know, and she'll go, oh, wonder who wrote that, Dad. So, you know, it's already out there. But I thought it was interesting, you guys, when I started reading about Dempsey, that you guys had gone away from that character for a while and had a lot of Dempsey fans write you and say, what happened? Come on, we need some more Dempsey, right?
Yeah, they started getting less friendly as the months rolled on. And I think part of that was we did leave a little bit. We wrapped up the story in book six very well, but we dropped in the epilogue a little teaser about where it was going next. And then in the interim, we had the opportunity to spin off the Sons of Valor series, which is a shared universe series of books from the Tier One. And those books came out and did well. And then we had another opportunity to write a series of books called The Shepherds, and three of those books came out. So, and then we've got these screenwriting things going on and some film stuff. And it's all been very exciting. But we had constant reminders, you are correct, like, when is Dempsey coming out? So, yeah, we're glad to get it out there, and we're glad that it's been very well received. It's done really, really well, and people seem excited. And anyone that's listening that's a Tier 1 fan, it will not be 2 years between Book 7 and Book 8, we promise. It's already in the queue, and it'll be coming out on time.
Hey, listen, I'm sure the guy that wrote the Archie comic books, he had the same deal when he dropped Jughead for a couple of months, and the fans wrote in, and you have to respond. I get it.
You do. These characters, they come alive for people. As a reader, I feel that too, man. I've got my series that I read, and those people are real to me. It's like losing a relationship. And I just want people to know that for the writer, it's the same. Like, we love John. We love, Grimes and Dan and all the characters in his book. They're real to us too. So it was difficult to put them on the back burner, but we're really excited that they're back.
That's pretty cool. Where is the best place that people can find out about all things Jeffrey Wilson and Brian Andrews?
So the best place to go is our website, andrews-wilson.com. And on there, we have a list of all of our books and all of our series. We have a series page that lays out, the order of books. And also you can sign up for our mailing list on there. We don't spam you. We don't resell your personal information. We just keep it safely secure. But if you do sign up for the mailing list, then what you get is sort of all the breaking news first. So we always tell our newsletter subscribers about any new projects or release dates and things like that first. So great way to stay in touch.
How cool. Just been so cool talking to you guys. Great luck on everything you do. Such an incredible success. And I can't wait to get back into John Dempsey, find out about his world, and just see what you guys do. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Randy. And listen, we'd be remiss if we didn't say thank you so much for all the great work you guys are doing with this program and bringing awareness to all of our partner organizations that we love and support as well.
Well, thanks, man. It's absolutely our honor. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.